have plunged England into a religious war? What if the Chinese authorities had not sent tanks into Tiananmen Square? Would pro-democracy demonstrators have won the way? What if the Zulus had defeated the British in 1879? Would there have been consequences for the British Empire? And in our own day, what if the Brexit referendum last June had produced a different result? Would we be faced with the same division within our society that Justin Welby says is the worst he has ever experienced in his lifetime? What if Hillary Clinton had become the first female president of the United States? Would the world feel a more predictable, safer place? And what if Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews, had carried more weight on the Sanhedrin of which he was a member? Might the Jewish people have rallied around the teaching of a rabbi passionate about a renewal of faith? Nicodemus comes by night to quiz Jesus, who tells him that no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above, and the need to be born of water and the Spirit. Nicodemus is left confused. What sort of riddle is this? The author of John's Gospel, from which our reading a moment ago was taken, often has Jesus speaking in riddles, or posing conundrums, or drawing on passages from Scripture which stretch the imagination. What did Jesus say? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. What did Jesus mean? Perhaps you recall the serpent episode from the Hebrew Bible. The Israelites are wandering the desert in the aftermath of the Exodus, and they are deeply unhappy with both Moses and Yahweh. Why? Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness where there is neither food nor water? They are, of course, over-egging their cake. There is both food and water, but just not to their liking. In response to their complaint, venomous snakes appear and many die, all of which they interpret as God's punishment. With a change of heart, they turn to Moses. They admit their fault, their wrongdoing, and plead with him to intercede to God on their behalf. A sort of totem pole is constructed, at the top of which sits a serpent figure made out of bronze. Anyone bitten now only has to look on the serpent figure and they will be spared. They will be saved. It's an episode which begs a question. What is the parallel Jesus is drawing between himself, the Son of Man, and the bronze serpent set on a pole? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. At one level, it is straightforwardly about the power of faith. just as the Israelites had faith in God's assurance that if they looked on the bronze serpent, they would be saved, so too we need to have faith in God's assurance that in Christ's sacrifice on the cross, we too will be saved. Saved from what? We'll come to that in a moment. But it is more than about just being saved. It's about the offer of a second chance. Our life in God is a life of constant repentance and renewal. We ask forgiveness and are given the opportunity to start all over again. Not once, not even the seven times Peter so generously suggests in conversation with Jesus, but 70 times seven. In other words, time and again. The reason why God is prepared to offer this second chance finds its explanation towards the end of our gospel reading. God so loved the world. That's sufficient reason for God. Sufficient reason for God sharing himself in the person of Jesus, who comes not to condemn us. Many of us do a pretty good job of that ourselves without any help from God. But to save us from ourselves, to save us from lives which are self-centered and self-consuming. In a word, narcissistic. God so loved the world and requires us, you and I, to do the same. Loving this world means loving our neighbor. By sharing who we are and what we have, by our generosity, by our patient understanding, by extending forgiveness and trust, even though that trust at times will be abused. For God does the same thing with us. God shares himself. He is abundantly generous towards us. He extends not only patient understanding, but forgiveness and trust. So, in loving our neighbor, we are being Christ-like and loving God. Nicodemus, he had a hard time understanding what Jesus was talking about, just as you and I do at times. Nicodemus had come to Jesus under cover of darkness, perhaps afraid of what other Pharisees would make of him speaking to someone who they were intent on destroying. Yet even though Nicodemus was driven by a genuine need, I have no doubt, a genuine need to understand this enigmatic and charismatic rabbi, he finds it difficult to hear beyond, or might it be beneath, the spoken word. Nicodemus fails to understand and so misses the opportunity of a lifetime. Or did he? Nicodemus reappears in John's Gospel on two further occasions. In the first, the chief priests and Pharisees are conniving to arrest Jesus. As the temple authorities berate their police force for some failure or other, it is Nicodemus who comes to Jesus' defense. In the second, his final appearance, it follows the crucifixion. Nicodemus is found assisting Joseph of Arimathea, embalming the body of Jesus after it has been removed from the cross. Clearly, something had happened to transform the life of this Pharisee who now was prepared to take such risks. Nicodemus seems to have accepted that offer of a second chance. What we as Christians call metanoia, a fundamental change in our thinking and our behavior as we turn to God. And that is our challenge today. To what extent are we willing to hear and understand not only the words, but the impact on our lives if we take those words to heart and experience metanoia, literally a change of heart? Today in this Eucharist, we are offered once again a second chance. But afterwards, as we leave this place, will there be genuine metanoia? I ask that question not only of you, but of myself. Will there be that fundamental change in our thinking and our behavior as we turn to God? What if? What if?